Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome into another edition of the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. I'm JJ Stankovic, joined by John Moon Mullen. We are in the coat closet here at Hallis Hall for one final time. Veteran minicamp wraps up this week. Then the Bears have a couple weeks off before they report to training camp. July 19th, first practice, July 20th. Moon, I want to get started on this topic. You asked Charles Leno what I thought was a really good question today being Wednesday, about, okay, we've heard all about the excitement in the building at Hallis Hall. You know, Matt Nagy's bringing this wave of energy into the building. Well, how is that really different from John Fox? From the previous coaching staff, and Leno gave a really good answer. He said, look, Fox was a defensive guy. So for me being an offensive guy, we've now got an offensive head coach, a guy who's going to come in, call the plays, design the offense, do all these things that are geared toward the offense. It wasn't Leno ripping the previous coaching staff.
Right.
It wasn't Leno saying John Fox was a bad head coach and, you know, our record proved it. It was him saying, no, like, look, this is why we're feeling excited. This is why we're feeling excited as an offense specifically. But you've covered John Fox. You've covered Mark Trestman. You've covered Lovie Smith, Dave Wannstedt. You were here the last year of Ditka.
Yeah, Ditka.
Yeah.
Dick Geron was thrown in
there. Dick Geron. So from your perspective, how does the excitement around Matt Nagy differ, if it does at all, from these previous coaches that you've seen come in, go through the offseason program in their first, you know, OTAs, all this stuff?
Yeah, it's variations on a theme. Every one of them, every coach who's come in has had that positive buzz. For number one reason is he's not the other guy. You know, Fox wasn't Trestman, who wasn't Lovie, who wasn't Geron, who wasn't, you know, so forth and so on, or Wannstedt, who wasn't Ditka. All those guys, in fact, as I just mentioned them, you know, Ditka, Lovie, Trestman to some extent, and certainly Fox, all those guys by the end of their times here, in terms of the public persona, everybody was kind of sick of them. They're too grumpy to deal with. You know, the media was even well, not the media accounts, but I think fans were getting that feeling. Within the locker room, the closest thing I can, and to play off of what Leno said, there was this kind of an energetic buzz when Trestman came because he was an offensive guy. But I will say what makes this different is Mark Trestman was coming from kind of a failed NFL time. He, you know, he won a lot in Canada, but that's Canada.
When he was old, that I mean, he wasn't young. He wasn't necessarily young. Like I think you made the mention previously of like, why did it take him this long to get the job?
Right. Yeah. Well. Yes, and there were reasons, because he had kind of choked in a Super Bowl calling plays and as an O coordinator and so forth and so on. But he had worked with the 49ers. He'd been with supposedly good offenses. The one thing about, I will say about Nagy, in fairness to reinforce Leno's observation, Matt Nagy comes from a really good coaching tree. Mark Trestman didn't. And I think there's a reason, if you look at Trestman's background, there wasn't like, really, well, I guess he's going to be innovative. And the offense was pretty good the first year. It's always, when Ditka burned out, boy, we got Dave Wannstedt, here comes the Dallas thing. All right, this is going to be great. And that blew up. And then here's Dick Geron, really a nice, well, after Dave McGinnis, that whole thing didn't work out. And okay, now Geron is a very measured guy. The players loved him. He's his former player himself. That didn't work. One winning year in his years, and now here comes Lovie Smith. Who is this guy? And then they get to a Super Bowl. But even he, you know, the guys burn out. So I think it was interesting to see Leno obviously likes an offensive guy, But I'm not sure. We'll see how much the positive energy stays. Because you remember, I think around Chicago, wow, they got John Fox.
Yeah,
this
right.
guy wins. He's in the Super Bowl. You know, the Bears in the Super Bowl in 3 years because he's done it twice before.
Yeah.
So Matt Nagy does have to actually live up to things. But and last quick thought is, it just occurred to me, listening to what Leonard was saying, one of the things that Fox did was change the culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these guys, Nagy is coming into a good cultural, this is a good team. You know the locker room, JJ.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not jerks. They're
right.
not down on each other. They didn't quit last year. So I think there were some good remnants here as opposed to what was here after Trestman left.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's good reason to feel excited about it, although it happens every time. You're always excited about the new guy because he wasn't the old guy.
Right. And, I mean, for Fox, for all the work he did do cleaning up the locker room and making sure that was in a good position – he didn't win enough.
Right.
Went 14-34, and players know, as much as they did like John Fox, and you know, at the end of the John Fox era, you know, we heard from a lot of players saying like we liked playing for this guy,
mm-hmm.
but they're not stupid. They know that 14-34 will get you fired,
yeah.
especially when you came in with a track record of taking teams to the Super Bowl.
Right. Now, although the general manager was 14-34 and got an extension.
That's a fair point. That's a fair counterpoint.
Again,
not
taking a side in that discussion. But, right. I mean, players know. They know who helps make them successful.
Right.
And, frankly, Fox's message was wasn't working for them.
Right. And I think that it's interesting to listen to players talk about Nagy and, you know, okay, why do you like this guy? And every single one of them has said he's just genuine.
Mm-hmm.
He's the same guy. He'll be stern with us. He'll be playful with us, but it always comes across as genuine. He's not trying to be someone else,
mm-hmm.
which I think, especially for guys in the defensive side of the ball, you can see how they might look at an offensive guy with a bit of a some side eye,
mm-hmm.
saying, okay, this guy's been an offensive coordinator. He was a quarterback's coach before that. He was a quarterback before that. What is he really going to bring to us? But you listen to a lot of the defensive guys talk about him, and it is just that theme of him being genuine. And then you hear the mm-hmm. exact same thing from the offensive players. I think it's important to note that there is that common line to mm-hmm. follow. It's not players being like, we love Coach Nagy. He's great. You know, it's
good
exciting
drinking,
around here.
Good drinking buddy.
Yeah. Like, oh, we love to go out to, Gibson's with him or something. They actually providing a pretty consistent message mm-hmm. to it. And like you said, Moon, these guys know who's going to help their career and who's not. So there are ways to kind of read between the lines. And kind of, hear damning with faint praise or kind of empty platitudes, which I think you probably saw mm-hmm. with Mark Trestman.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we're not getting that right now with a lot of these guys.
No, and I think we heard yesterday Akeem Hicks talking about what do you really like? What do you love about Vic Fangio? And that kind of he knows what we do well. The cliche of putting guys in position to succeed. And before you think, oh, that's just what everybody does, no. There's a lot of coaches who, they have their system, and by God, we're going to run this because I know this works.
Yep.
And even position coaches, I remember Rod Marinelli, who may have talked about this in the past, players loved him because he had his way of rushing his three-step thing, but he looked at Alex Brown a little differently than Adewale Ogunleye and those guys.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're looking for, and this gets back to Nagy, I think you're seeing exactly that. He knows what Mitch Trubisky can do, or he's learning
mm-hmm.
that. And I think that whole put me in a position to be successful, because coaches, that's what players crave. They crave, I want to be the best I can be. And I think Leno even talked about that
mm-hmm.
with Harry Eastman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Hey, if you're in the NFL, why not be great?
Right.
And I think that's, not everybody preaches that.
Right.
Not quite that explicitly. So I think you kind of touched on a lot of points that you pull the camera back and say, there is a consistent thread
mm-hmm.
here. Again, it doesn't win you any games in
exactly.
June.
Right.
But it can start to erode. And there were things, like using the Trestman example, going back a couple times, there were the seeds of disaster already percolating with the guys on the defense, of all things.
Right.
Lance Briggs and Julius Peppers were telling me what this – he lost them early. Matt Nagy and his staff, I think one of the most admirable things he did was keep Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
He's not this hotshot – Nagy isn't this hotshot young coach who I want a hotshot young defense coach.
Right.
No. He is comfortable enough in his own skin and his own coaching skin to say, I want this guy. I like what he does. Because philosophically, I think, as you said, they're kind of the same.
Mm-hmm.
They'll adapt. They'll find ways to make their players – work in their system, not jamming them in.
Exactly. It's not also just keeping Vic Fangio. It's mm-hmm. then the trickle down of that. You kept Jay Rogers. You kept Glenn Pyers. You mm-hmm. kept Brandon Staley, you kept Ed Donatell. You kept that entire defensive coaching staff in place too, which then for, you know, Nakeem Hicks, Eddie Goldman, they get to work with Jay Rogers again. Jonathan Bullard, same thing. You know, you get the outside linebackers. They still get to work with Staley. Inside guys still work with Glenn Pye. Just like, that trickle-down effect provides so much comfort for the defense. So then when they look over at the offense and they see, well, okay, maybe Nagy's spending a lot of time over there, they're like, but we don't have some, you know, we don't have his guy necessarily coming in and telling us, you got to play this way.
Exactly.
It's, this is how we already play.
Yeah, and there would have been, I guarantee you, there would have been some resentment or grumbling. We probably wouldn't have even heard it because they're professionals, but there would have been thinking, hey, we had a good thing here. Why don't you blow it up?
Right.
And he was smart enough not to. And that's, I think, the first thing. Sometimes the best moves you make are the ones you don't make.
Right.
I think Matt Nagy did that with the defense. But I think we're seeing an adaptability factor that, you know, going back to, didn't we see this with Fox? Weren't you all excited when Trestman came? Not like this. It's a little different. You're a different guy, different side of the football. So hopefully if you're a Bears fan, it brings it all together. An offensive guy who's actually sane.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But like you said, Moon, this doesn't win you any games right now. We're still, what, we're potting on June 6th, so we have...
Happy D-Day to you veterans, by the way.
There you go. 3 months and 3 days until the season opener. That's a long way away. And the Bears still have to show that, hey, all this excitement, all this positivity around Halas Hall, it actually means something. But for right now, it's certainly better to have it and better to have that common thread of why everyone is so excited than kind of looking at this with, you know, a bit of skepticism and saying, yeah, you know, I don't know if these players really believe it.
They did that, and that was part of the overall fabric with Trestman. But there's some excitement on the offense, but not like now.
Right.
Not with the credibility. But no, I think the buy-in of the players is important, and I think that's a huge, huge building block. Yeah, I was just thinking about, I don't know about you, but I am really eager to see the preseason games. They don't mean anything, but damn, I want to see this offense in action.
Right.
Because even if it's not the starters, it's going to be the system.
Right.
So I whatever we're going to see, it'll be, it's one of those, I think we ought to tape the games, all of us, and then go back and watch them, because there's going to be some different concepts that we won't have seen.
Yeah.
Ostensibly because there's so much going to be going on at the same time. It was funny to hear Akeem Hicks say, this is a really good defense, and they're giving us fits.
Yeah.
I don't think we have heard that no Bears offense has given anybody fits for a while.
Yeah, so you're saying that the Hall of Fame game on August 2nd, to keep an eye on how Tyler Bray works with Taequann Mizell and
there's going to be a quarterback,
Tanner Gentry. And
maybe there's a quarterback controversy. You never know. No, I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I did not say that.
Whoa, that's a big one. Moving on from that, that's not going to happen.
I did not say that.
We're going to take a break here on the Under Center podcast and come back with just some final thoughts on OTA's minicamp, what we've learned over these 2 months since the start of the offseason program. So stick with us here on the Under Center podcast.
Crank up the heat and turn on STL. On NBC Sports Chicago, host David Kaplan brings his no-nonsense opinion to the table in a half hour on the topics that are trending with our teams.
We got the most mismanaged basketball team in the history of the world.
Which franchise made the gutsiest draft day move?
I think Pack wanted to do this, and he finally got his way.
Sports Talk Live, presented by the Chevy Silverado. Weeknights at 6 on NBC Sports Chicago.
All right, Moon and I are back here on the Under Center podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago. Plenty to unpack over these last couple months. I mean, we've been following the Kevin White storyline. He's participated in practices. He's looked good in some practices.
Not like, and again, we say that every year. This is different. I hope. And this kid has been derailed not by nagging injuries. No, he broke something.
Yep.
No, again, not to go off on a tangent about him, but that is the Bear to watch for me. He's motivated, not that his pose down with a topless pose down wherever he was, remember that bodybuilding
Machu Picchu or whatever?
Yeah, something like that. But no, we've seen him run by defensive backs, which is a refreshing sign.
We've seen him go up for jump balls,
Seen Mitch Trubisky understand, hey, I can air it out, and I can't overthrow this guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, a receiver, every quarterback wants to throw long. So I think, you know, his connection with Kevin White and Turbo, Aaron Gabriel.
Taylor Gabriel.
How do I get Aaron? I got to get myself out of saying Aaron Gabriel.
Aaron Gabriel?
There's an Aaron Gabriel.
If you're Aaron Gabriel and you're listening to this pod, tweet at Moon Mullen NBCS and let him know who you are.
No, but lots of things to see. Again, and nothing means much in the OTAs, if anything. But if we were seeing the ball on the ground a lot, or guys having to do a lot of do-overs in the plays, it'd be notable.
But yep.
There's a confidence that's building here. So when they hit training camp, I think they're going to be way ahead of where they were the last couple of years.
You know what I like about this offense right now is that there's a you mentioned the confidence there. That confidence exists even with them not understanding fully what this offense is. Starting with Mitch Trubisky, there still is a lot that Trubisky needs to learn, he needs to understand, he needs to experience within this offense. But he still has the confidence to run it in practice. He still has the confidence to sling it around in practice and run these plays with conviction. It's not sort of tepid. He's not tentative running these plays. He gets up there and he rips it. And you know what? If he's wrong, then he's wrong and he goes back and fixes it. I think it would be a problem if we saw, like you said, balls on the ground, general frustration from the offense. We haven't seen a whole lot of that.
No.
And we've also heard from Chase Daniel, from Trubisky, from Nagy, from Helfrich, that they are kind of ahead of schedule in installing it. Daniel said that when they were first installing this offense back in Kansas City, that they installed maybe 1/10 of the plays that the Bears have installed to this point right now.
Wow.
And granted, that's the early stages of this offense even being kind of developed, but that just shows how much they trust Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
If they're not babying him with this, they're saying, you know what, kid, you've shown us, you got the confidence to run this thing, knowing that you're probably going to screw up sometimes, but also knowing how to fix it.
Well, and he's also screwing up in a hurry. Yeah, I think what Tariq Cohen said, yeah, we're faster. And I think I asked him, I said, was it faster because it is a faster scheme? Or are you Tariq Cohen and you Mitch Trubisky? You're in your second year. Last year they were tentative.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cohen was overwhelmed by what he was getting. This year he's lapping it up with a soup spoon.
Yeah.
So, and he's got a quarterback, you know, I know they're not getting this far along, but for example, Mitch Trubisky can envision running this play against Clay Matthews because he's seen that already. So he has an idea what the NFL game is like. And just in fairness to Dow Loggins and whatever they were doing last year, they're working with a rookie quarterback.
Hold on, can I say something? Could you say that Mitch has a nose for Clay Matthews right now?
Don't say that.
Do you get it?
Yes, I get it. That was worse than a quarterback controversy.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Clay Matthews. A broken nose is no joke.
But,
sorry, continue.
I think, you know, you're seeing – I think, again, this isn't a measure of anything, but, you know, Trubisky's relaxed. I mean, he's a year older. He's more comfortable, whether it's at the podium or at the line of scrimmage. Different guy. I've seen enough of these guys in 25 years that, that kid, he's got it. And it doesn't make him great, and he didn't complete 60% of his passes last year. Mm-hmm. That's got to improve.
Right.
But we're not seeing, you're not hearing a coach whistle and then set it up again. We're not seeing false starts on the offensive line, which we always see with new schemes.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of stuff, again, what limited we're allowed to see of it in the team stuff, that should be encouraging because that's all part of the foundation. And that wasn't the way it was, let's say, when Trestman came in. Or even in the last couple of years, maybe a little bit with Adam Gase, but they were losing it.
I'm going to get back to Kevin White a little bit because as we try to make something of these last couple of weeks on a player-specific level that's not Trubisky, he is a guy who stood out. He has played well. He's looked fast. He's also done it without pads on. It's just shorts and helmets. And you can have fool's gold sometimes with just shorts and helmets. I mean, I remember Adam Shaheen last year looked great right around now, and then as soon as the pads came on, it became apparent that he had a lot of work to do.
Yep.
But for Kevin White, maybe because the bar is so low for him, the Bears signed all these guys. They signed Robinson. They signed Gabriel, Burton. They drafted Anthony Miller to make sure that the pressure was not on Kevin White. Maybe because he's starting at such a low place, we're saying, you know what, Kevin White looks really good because the expectations with him really are not there. Whereas last year, when Sherrick McManus was beating Kevin White on jump balls, it was like, that's the Bears' number two receiver, soon to be number one after Cam Meredith got hurt. That's a problem.
Big problem. Yeah, and just I'll do something closer to camp. And he said he was coming off the lower body. He was coming off the broken leg this time last year. He wasn't the same guy.
Yep.
And to see him running now, it's a different thing. I mean, and again, that doesn't catch passes and doesn't mean you're open. But you know, talking to a former coach here, he really was. You couldn't, if you can't tell the difference between your the seventh overall pick and an undrafted free agent, got a problem.
Yeah.
This year, if you didn't know who was out there, you saw, ooh, who's at 11? He can go. And I think that's a big deal, because this can't all be on Allen Robinson. God bless, that's a huge signing, or Taylor Gabriel.
Right.
The West Coast scheme that Andy Reid and, by extension, Matt Nagy is going to run, they'll have seven or eight guys with 20 or more catches. That's a trademark of this offense. So the fact that they can now have a guy who can win some jump balls and actually play like a 6 foot 3 inch receiver, huge. They haven't had that since Brandon Martin or since Alshon Jeffrey.
And they could have two of those guys between White and Allen Robinson, where if you really want, I mean, you could have three of those guys if you have Adam Shaheen on the field, three go up and get it guys who can body up a defensive back and make a high point catch. That's not a bad thing to have. You also then have two guys who are 5'8" and 5'6" who can dart all over the field and do all these different things.
Guys are mad at them because the defense, because we can't find them.
Right.
Yeah, it's not fair. You got to say, hey, put up your hand when you're running so we can see you back there. But no, I think that's, you know, the kind of receivers that they have and the rapport they develop, that's happening now with Mitch Trubisky. And I'm curious to see what kind of a relationship, a trust relationship develops, and that's starting now with Trubisky. And I'm harking back to when they had Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey, as Josh McCown said, if I got it within the, if it got in the same area code with those guys, they're going to catch it. That's what a quarterback craves.
Right.
What they give, if Trubisky has talent and they give him a catch radius, just get it in the air, just get it in my range, son, and I'll catch it. Now you got something. Now you got an offense that believes in itself, and that gets some swagger, and they will start dictating to defenses rather than the other way around.
You know what was fun today, too, was listening to Tariq Cohen kind of talk about what this offense can
be. Of course, it's always fun talking about
Tariq. It's always fun to listen to Tariq Cohen. That's not news. But, you know, we've done it here. I've done it at our smart board in NBC Sports Chicago, just kind of drawing up, okay, what could this offense look like? And it's kind of fun to daydream of how many different guys fit in these different positions and what they can all do. We heard Tariq Cohen basically do that at the podium today, being like, we got Turbo who can take the top off of defense, and Robinson and White, they can go up and get the ball, and Trey Burton, and just like so many of these different weapons. You can see how excited he was getting. And then on top of it, he's like, and I want to fit in that. It's not just sort of him observing from the sidelines of like, man, like this is going to be fun. It's like, here's all the things we got, and I want to work to fit in that. And I think for other offensive guys, as we look ahead to training camp for competition, it's kind of the thing with Leno. Why would you not want to be great? You're in the NFL. You're in training camp. Why would you not want to be a part of this offense?
That's a huge – actually, just to cover, that's a great point, JJ, that say, I want to fit into that. Not that every player doesn't want the football.
Yeah.
But looking at last year – It seemed like Tariq Cohen was almost a little island unto it. Like, what are they going to do with him?
Right.
Just him. Now, because they had Josh Bellamy and
Tanner Gentry,
you know, players who will remain nameless. What I'm looking for in this team is, and it sounds like it's already happening, where Tariq Cohen understands the integration of it all. If Allen Robinson or if Kevin White runs his high route, and I run the perfect low route. Now I understand. That's the concept that we're looking for. Not just how do I get the ball.
Right.
I mean, everybody wants that. But understanding that within the context of the multi-plays and that my route or my block is important to him catching the ball and vice versa. I think that's something we didn't see much last year. I think the talent wasn't there.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah. And Tariq Cohen was the only guy last year who ever was going to draw a double team, which is partly why, you know, that infamous Dow Loggins answer of, well, we didn't have him on the field as much because he was getting double-teamed. It's like, oh, probably a reason to have him on the field a little more.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are also many other things that go into that. But I think just the point of when we get to training camp, you want your guys to be hungry to get in this offense, not for themselves, but for the betterment of the team. And if guys are looking around and they're being like, holy crap, this offense is so much fun, I can go out and run my route, and you know what? If I don't get the ball, I want to go celebrate downfield with Taylor Gabriel. That is what you want. That creates more competition. It creates a better offense come September. If you give guys wanting to be in it, not kind of like I said, not for themselves, but just for the betterment of this whole team, because it's so much fun.
Yeah. And I think we're seeing it. A lot of this is going to, you know, organizations take their personality from the top, whether that's George McCaskey, you know, whatever the – on the field, it's Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
And we've seen little isolated things. Last week, talking to Kevin White, and you know, it was really uncomfortable talking. And Trubisky kind of yells something, kind of a very friendly, I mean, stuff. That little kind of byplay, I think, is important. They didn't have that. Jay Cutler would never have had that.
Right.
And they just weren't good enough. I mean, last year he was a rookie, so you better shut up.
Right.
But I think, you know, that's the he becomes the rising tide that needs to lift all boats. And if they all play off of him, if they believe in him, like Charles Leno saying today, wow, he's got some gun. There's some jets.
He's got some wheels.
You know, if they all start believing in each other, now you got some where the whole can become greater than the sum of the parts, because it wasn't last year or the year before.
Yeah. I know we've talked about it a lot. It's going to be an exciting training camp. Mm-hmm. We got, what, 5-6 weeks until then? I'll be back. Yeah. I'll be back on July 30th. Taking a little.
We'll send you video.
Yeah, send me video. I won't watch it.
But it's only 90 seconds, and you can only have it for 24 hours under the NFL rules.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess I won't learn anything.
If you're watching Bears video on your honeymoon, you need to get help now.
Yeah, I also think I might get just left in Ireland, which would be entirely fair. That's going to do it for us here on this edition of the Under Center Podcast. We'll have a couple more coming to you over the summer break, looking ahead to training camp, looking at some other interesting things here, but for now, Moon, until mid-August when we're back here in OTAs, or not OTAs, in our coat closet for practice.
We'll have more to talk about.
We'll have plenty more to talk about then. So stick with us here on the Under Center Podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. Give us a 5-star rating, if not for us, for all the work that Lawrence Holmes does as well, hosting this podcast during the season, sometimes off the season. We had a good one with him a couple weeks ago. And yeah, follow us both on Twitter, read all our stuff on NBC Sports Chicago, and have a great day, everyone. Thanks for listening.